It's 6 o'clock Monday night and time to kick off Super Scoreboard on Clyde One.
Good evening and welcome to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Jerry McCulloch. On the show tonight, a lacklustre display by a Rangers side against Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Pedro Caixinha says the players were too tense and they failed to implement his tactics. With Celtic and Brendan Rodgers now one game away from the treble, what have both sets of fans learned from yesterday's game? Have your say to the biggest audience right now. The referees grabbed all of the pre-match spotlight, of course, but by full time, it was well and truly on the Rangers manager as he tried at length to explain to everyone what his tactics were. Rangers fans, after admitting they didn't work, how should Caixinha change things for the league game at Ibrox on Saturday? Or is it too little too late? Celtic fans, with Rangers now out of the way and only Aberdeen left to overcome in the cup final, how do you want Brendan Rodgers to approach Saturday's game? Is it time to give others a shot? Or is the lure of an invincible season too strong to resist? Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are with you until just before 8 o'clock, taking your calls on 0141 951 102. If you'd rather tweet the show, we are at Clyde SSB. You keep in sometimes 24 hours after the event, when the emotion is taken out of the situation, you see things differently. Have you changed any of your opinions from yesterday?
None at all. I still think Andy Halliday should have been sent off. I think the Rangers players were confused by Pedro Caixinha's tactics. I think that when Kenny Miller's gathering the players around him at Hampden and pointing things out, then he has to have a rethink for Saturday at Ibrox. I don't think that in the sixth and final Old Firm match of the season, the Rangers fans will tolerate being passed around like a parcel by Celtic once again. Pedro Caixinha has to quickly learn the ground rules here. I see absolutely nothing wrong with Pedro Caixinha embracing Brendan Rodgers and sharing a joke or whatever took place between the two men, even though it doesn't play very well with a lot of Rangers supporters. But there is something wrong for the Rangers supporters if twice in the space of a week, Rangers are made to look foolish by Celtic.
I think apart from 12 minutes near the end, you know, there was no pride, there was no passion, there was no fight in that Rangers performance. I think the players know that themselves. The lack of leadership again showed on Saturday. There was nobody there to try and get players going. And that is a sad thing for me. It's interesting you're talking about the Andy Halliday one. I watched Dermot Gallagher this morning on television. Now, he goes through all the, in case people don't see it, he goes through all the incidents in the English Premiership and the Scottish, the English Premier League and the Scottish Premiership, you know, referees' decisions and everything else. And that was the two he brought up, the Andy Halliday one. Now, I feel sorry for referees now because his explanation of that baffled me. He said, the show that he said, well, look, here's the tackle come in. Oh, it's a terrible challenge, but the referee's done really well allowing play to go on. He's played advantage, good on him, and here's the shot at goal. He says, now, how on earth can you go back and give somebody a red card after allowing play to go on? Well, why not?
Yeah.
He said, what the referee should have done, if he was going to send them off, as soon as the tackle was done, stop the game right away and send them off. What's the difference? You're actually allowing play to go on. They've got the advantage, Celtic. Yeah. Let's see what they can do with it.
To be fair, then he does then go on to explain why he thinks a yellow card was the right decision.
Yeah, but what I'd say...
Yeah, but he said I couldn't get that reasoning. So I feel sorry for referees if they're getting all that. And even the Tavernier one. I owe him an apology, by the way, James Tavernier. I watched it three times in here on Saturday. And I said he never touched the ball. He missed it completely. Remember when I said he's lip reading, he says, I touched the ball. He actually did get a wee toe to it, but it doesn't matter. According to Dermot Gallagher, doesn't matter if he had touched to the ball, he's followed through and he's taken Lee Griffiths out, so it's a penalty kick.
What I would say about Dermot Gallagher, his employers at Sky have very cleverly established him as the oracle. He's only one pair of eyes, the same as the rest of us, and he's only one opinion, the same as the rest of us. He may be a former referee, unlike the rest of us, but I still maintain, from watching football for decades, Andy Halliday's a red card all day long. Tavernier concedes a penalty all day long. We look back at things. We had a laugh yesterday in here watching Dunfermline and Falkirk. The penalty that was given to Falkirk is so outrageous. It's beyond parody. It's laughable. And these things are going on. It's just time to actually... And incidentally, before anyone says, I still think Craig Scott Brown's a red card, and I still think he'll be suspended on Thursday.
Well, listen, if you don't mind, forget about tackles, because for once, and referees, that wasn't the main issue from the game yesterday. The main issue from the game yesterday was, yes, Celtic are now in the Scottish Cup final. They've only got Aberdeen to beat to win the treble. We know only two Celtic managers have done that in history. The main issue from Rangers fans, Derek, you said it, no pride, no passion. Rangers fans wonder where this performance came from. Under Graham Murty, Rangers put in a performance against Celtic which had pride, which had passion, and which had effectiveness.
But again, Jerry, it's the same players. You know, and the manager has spoken to him before. He's done his tactics and everything else. Whether you agree with the tactics, remember, they're professional men. It's all right us having a say about how he's tactical. We've never done that before. You know, we're talking to a man, that's his life, is coaching. The players didn't. I've said it before, tactics don't mean a thing if players don't play. And I looked at that game on Saturday, and I looked at Celtic swanning about, no problem, nobody getting near them and making chances, more so in the second half.
But isn't that because of the tactics? They were told to sit back.
No, it's not. But tactics, you still got to mark a man. You've got to get close people down and everything else when they come into the last third. That didn't happen. Two long balls beat them for two goals.
The other remarkable thing in the aftermath of the game yesterday was Pedro Caixinha saying that Helder Baptista, his assistant, had come to him after the pre-match warm-up to say, don't be too tough with the players in your pre-match team talk inside the dressing room because they're tense. So it's a matter of interpretation. By tense, does he mean nervous or scared?
I cannot change the approach in 1 minute to get on the pitch. What I changed was my speech. Was my speech regarding before the players get on the game, in order not to be so focused and put a little bit more anxious on the tension that they were living on the warm-up.
The tension they were feeling on the warm-up.
But I don't think any of that. I mean, they've gone to Celtic Park and got a fantastic result and played really well, and the majority of the players that played there yesterday. So it's not nerves. Yes, everybody's nervous anyway in an Old Firm game, if we're honest. You know, but something on the day just didn't go well for them. We said after the 1-1 game at Celtic Park that it was probably the worst Celtic had played in an Old Firm game. You know, the big players never came to the party on the day. But Celtic are good enough to still get a result, even though they don't play well. That's the difference between the two of them. Rangers don't play well, they don't win games. Celtic can, because they've got better players.
But just to confirm, you don't think, Derek, that it was anything to do with tactics yesterday?
Yes, obviously partly, because I didn't think they would play with two men up. The reason they got a result at Celtic Park for me is they played five in midfield. And the battled Celtic in there, you know, Celtic got the freedom of Hampden Park yesterday because Rangers sat back, whereas that didn't happen at Celtic Park. The five midfielders were closing Celtic down and didn't allow them to play their passes.
Let's get to the phones then and speak to some fans here. Here's John in Paisley. Hi, John.
Hi, Jerry. Did you not give me a hard time for my opinion about this man 2 weeks ago?
I've no idea. Probably, John. Anyway, what's your opinion tonight?
My opinion tonight, man, I told you 2 weeks ago the man was going to make us a laughing stock. And any Rangers manager that can go and congratulate a Celtic manager with a smile on his face really says a lot to me. I don't care what Hugh says, he likes to embrace it. We just get slaughtered by a man who, that team. Tell you what, Joe Gardner, Derek, you know where the race course is. Joe Gardner wouldn't get a game down the race course. Him and Wycorn wouldn't get a game down the race course.
John, if the Rangers manager can't have a civil conversation and even raise a smile with a Celtic manager after the game, does that not say more about you than it does about them?
Well, you go and ask for another 50,000 Rangers supporters to go week in and week out. We don't want to get beat. And if you can smile getting beat after your biggest rivals, I'll tell you what, that says a lot. Derek, you wouldn't see Alan McLeish or any other Rangers manager in the past.
I know.
Laughing.
Listen, it wouldn't happen in our day simply because they would go over and shake hands with each other. That's what you always do after the game, but that was it. There's no pleasantries, because what happens, the two of them meet in whoever's, if it's at Ibrox, they'll meet in the manager's office and they'll have a few drinks after the game between each other, but they would never say anything out in the park going up the tunnel, especially if you were beaten. You're right. But listen, this is a different era, John. This is a man going over to his friend.
Times
he knows
change.
Him. You know, times do change. And you're right, that's the last thing Rangers fans wanted to see, was that, because their team was so disappointing and poor. You know, why should we want to see our manager going over and smiling at Brendan Rodgers? Well, that's the kind of money. Most managers are doing that nowadays.
Seriously, that's what concerns you, John.
What concerns me is watching every player out there try to tell everybody what to do. They were all pointing fingers everywhere. They were all pointing. They were clueless. Even the season pros, Kenny Miller's guy, they were all talking to each other. They weren't even, half the time they weren't even looking at the ball. The ball was at the park.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern. Kenny Miller used the time when Moussa Dembele was being treated to get the players together, and it's a worrying sign, because does it imply that the players didn't understand Pedro Caixinha's instructions? Does it imply that, yeah, they understood them, but they didn't like them?
No, I think Kenny Miller was there saying to them, why don't the lot of you get your finger out here? Because you're doing absolutely nothing. It's as simple as that. Nothing to do with tactics. Just get near your man, get challenging. Let's do something, because we're getting a run around. That's what Kenny Miller would be saying to
these
players.
Well, these are the important considerations. But Brendan Rodgers embracing Pedro Caixinha and vice versa is not important.
It's important to a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's the 21st century.
You can say that. You're the media. I understand where you're coming from. But there's a lot of people that pay their money to go to Ibrox, right, and put their money over to you. You don't put your money over. We'll only be happy with that. I understand what you're saying. It's the 21st century.
But yeah, and I did a column this morning online saying that plenty of Rangers supporters would be unhappy with that. But we can't outlaw civilization. So, you know, they'll have to be allowed to behave like two civilized men. The most worrying thing of all is that after his first Old Firm game, Pedro Caixinha's credentials are being called into question. He has another Old Firm game on Saturday. It is vital for Pedro Caixinha that Rangers give a far better account of themselves than they did at Hampden. Yeah, that's the burning issue.
Not Caixinha, it's the players, John, you've got to be worrying about. They're the ones that have got to get their finger out, especially on Saturday, because they've let themselves, and I think they've let all these supporters that were at that ground and everybody watching on television all over the world, they've let them down big, big time.
Can I just
they're
say,
going to have to make up for this on Saturday.
Can I just say one last thing to you, John, on the subject of civilised behaviour? Celtic's under-17s are playing Rangers under-17s in the Youth Cup final at Hampden on Wednesday night, and they can't allow people in.
Well, that's shocking. I totally agree with you. I was here yesterday. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I can't wait again, but there is people out there that will be doing that, like, and cause mayhem, and it shouldn't happen. I don't condone any.
Well, perhaps if they could watch the Rangers manager embrace the Celtic manager without going off their heads, it would help.
But it's never, Scotland, come on, Hugh, you know yourself. The waste of Scotland, bigotry, let's be honest, Hugh, you know it.
Yeah, but it has, these things have to start somewhere. Yeah. And you're telling me that you're offended by the sight of the Rangers manager embracing the Celtic manager.
He should have done it away from the media, because he gave himself no chances.
John, can I say to you, I was embarrassed watching Rangers yesterday, and I never thought in my whole life I would see something like that. But it was one of them. I'm sitting in here with lads watching that, and I just couldn't believe how badly they played. The lack of effort. You know, there was just no passion at all there. I just couldn't believe what I was watching. That, for me, is more important than two managers shaking hands and having a laugh. Well, you want to see it right on the park.
Well, afterwards, Pedro Caixinha, in his post-match news conference, did try and explain to the assembled journalists exactly what they were trying to do in the first half. He admitted that they didn't work, but he used some empty glasses that were sitting there in the auditorium to try and kind of, you know, use sort of formations and tactics to explain to people what it was that they were trying to do.
On the middle of the park, what we were trying to do was getting the ball and inviting to play in Lustig, because it's a fullback, but under the dynamics that they put in attack, they place it like three, and looks like they're playing as three centre halves. So the idea was to get the ball in Lustig, block it, block the Scott Brown, which was making the triangle with the other center half. And with this block, we could have space to explore after we gained the possession on the other side. I think we could not do it on this match because we were a little bit lower on the park. That's what the moment I call the medium block.
Pedro Caixinha clearly is a thoughtful man, Hugh. He's clearly someone who knows tactics. I mean, whether there is a communication problem at the moment, does he say too much?
No, you know what? But he won't just talk about it. He's on the training route and he'll show them exactly what he's wanting. So they might not understand where he's coming from talking wise, but they'll see it when it's out in the park. This is what I want you to do. They're going to play basically three centre halves. That fullback is going to push up. So we want to get behind him. And they would do that on the pitch, not just talking about it. So to say that players didn't know what they're doing, I think's wrong.
Well, yesterday was his sixth game in charge of Rangers, and we have this debate going on. But between now and the end of the season, Rangers will have to start giving a better account of themselves in matches before this becomes a topic. I think the other big concern is that most of the team who played yesterday won't be there next season. They're not good enough to play for Rangers. And
they'll have to find some money to get rid of them, though.
No, that won't happen. They won't be paying players to leave them.
Exactly.
They don't have that money to do it. The ones that want to go can go for free. But there'll be ones here, you honest. I mean, you all know them. They'll be there maybe 2 years left. They're on good money. They're not going to get money like that anywhere else. No, I'll just stay where I am. That's what players do.
Well,
that's one of the troubles. That's one of the problems
of
Rangers have.
This season is underlining the fact that this Rangers squad is light years away from the Celtic squad. So something radical will have to happen. I take Derek's point that you can't just ship people out the door if they are unwilling to go. But the side who played yesterday have shown that they will not be able to catch Celtic.
Going to hear more from Pedro Caixinha, we'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, we'll hear from a few of the players from yesterday's game. More importantly though, we'll hear from you. Plenty of you lining up to have your say on tonight's programme. 0141 951 1025. Amber is up next though with your travel on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West. Be part of the debate. Call now 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
What we've been able to do over the course of this season, we keep adding to the games where we're performing under pressure. And when you have that, that means you're growing and developing as a team. So that's something obviously Pedro can only speak about and his assistants. You know, my job when I came into here was to get Celtic to cope with big games, but also understand that every game is a big game for Celtic. You know, so you don't prepare any more, any less. Every game is at a high level, and that's why this team have been consistently very good. So my focus is on ourselves, and thankfully the players were outstanding.
Well, it will be a big game and a big pressure game against Aberdeen, not just because it is a cup final, Hugh, but because it is the treble. The treble's all about one game now, and it comes down to Celtic against the team that have been their biggest rivals this season.
And it's all down to Brendan Rodgers that they are in this position. A year ago, Rangers beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup at Hampden. And the Celtic supporters were the ones who were saying, what is going on here? Crowds were down. Team's fitness was down. Team's morale was down. So the job that Brendan Rodgers has done since July has been nothing short of remarkable.
And even for Derek McInnes, when you think about it, you know, if he wins it, I mean, I don't think Aberdeen will win it. I said that yesterday. I fancy Celtic strongly to win it. If Derek McInnes wins the Scottish Cup, finishes second, I mean, what a really good season for him as well, for Aberdeen.
It's 27 minutes past six. Here's Mark in Partick. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, Mark. What's your point tonight?
It was just to ask Derek about Rangers' tactics yesterday. Yeah. It was obviously Hodgson, and he played Celtic in a couple of Celtic games this season, and he was obviously quite good. Mm-hmm. And Tavernier's just a joke. I mean, I never even gave him a game of Wycombe. I mean, how many goals has Wycombe scored per penalty kicks? I mean, the guy doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's like Lee Wallace. He's 2-1 footed. I don't know what the script is for Michael Halloran. But obviously, Rangers paid good money for, I think it was 600,000 plus add ons. I mean, Rangers aren't going to even get any of that back, probably. I mean, because there will be a lot of clubs lining up to get him by a loan deal. No, but I thought he should have played Paddy Mackay yesterday, a wee bit of whiff. No, and obviously, I know Barry's gone through a bad time having good games and bad games, I mean, but he'd have probably been the best one to play yesterday, or do through the middle. And I mean, that Wycombe's just a joke. I mean, it's, I go to Ibrox every week, and I watch him, and I just like, okay, sometimes there's only one up front and there's three guys around him.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know where the Rangers go for here. And plus that other caller was quite right. I mean, Derek obviously played with Jock Wallace. Never seen Jock Wallace obviously shaking a Celtic guy's hand or having a laugh on the pitch. Maybe I've done it behind the scenes, but I mean, but obviously, I don't really agree with that either. I don't think that guy's the right manager for Rangers. I mean, even coming up with stupid statements. It's like Warburton coming up with stupid statements. It's just to ask Derek for his opinion.
I think you're being a bit harsh on the manager. You know, for a start, it's not his players. We can all argue about tactics and everything else, but you know what? It comes down to the players that are on the park. I praised these same Rangers players when they got the draw at Celtic Park. They worked their socks off, they closed Celtic down, got a late equaliser. What a huge boost. The Rangers fans over at Celtic Park loved it. They were going home, they were happy. You know, we've got a point out of that, we were great. And all of a sudden, you know, the following month you play them and they're all diddies. You know, they're all hopeless. Get rid of them. The manager's not good enough. You know, the manager can only work with what he has. I think you've got to give him time to bring his own men in the summer. There's some Rangers players out there that shouldn't be there. I think we'd all accept that. They're not good enough. Good enough to win the championship at a canter, yes. But not enough of them have stepped up, you know, when Rangers have got in the Premiership. And that's why he needs, for me, the spine of the team needs renewed again. Because that's where you keep hearing managers saying that and coaches saying it. It's true. If the spine of your team's working, then you've got a basis there to play.
When I was making the comparison, Derek, between Celtic of now and Celtic of 12 months ago, knocked out of the cup by Rangers, the advantage that Celtic had over Pedro Caixinha and Rangers is very simple. Celtic thought, okay, we need to address this problem. Let's go and get the best manager we can find and pay him a wage that by Scottish standards is astronomical. And then we'll give that man millions of pounds to spend on players. That was Brendan Rodgers, and that was Brendan's advantage. He could come in and Dermot Desmond would bankroll this thing. But Pedro Caixinha is in a position where it's in need of radical overhaul. But I don't know if Pedro Caixinha knows any better than you or I what's available to him in the summer in terms of hard cash.
Well, I would like to think so, Hugh. I mean, you don't take that job. You know you've got the job simply because they're so far behind Celtic, 30-odd points. They were behind Aberdeen as well. You're not going to take that job and say, well, look, you've brought me in here because people have been unsuccessful at this club. They're not going anywhere. If you want me to do something, I've got to bring players in. And that's when you would talk to Dave King. When Dave King came over, maybe 2 weeks or a week after he was in the job, they sat down, they went for a meal and all this. I would like to think when he sat down, he has spoken to Dave King and said, look, big overhaul's needed. It means I need a few quid. Okay, Pedro Mendes is my agent. He's got a lot of players, a lot of foreign players. May well be good enough to come to Rangers, but we're going to have to pay them.
Surely that would have been done before he took the job, because that was him in position.
Yeah, but you've got to know what money you've got. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, before he takes the job, surely.
He's never spoken to Dave King, though. He's spoken to the Rangers board, but never spoken to Dave King.
There's theory, and then there's practicality. We know the theory. The overhaul needs to be done. Now we're moving towards the practical part of the summer where, in the immortal words of the movie, show me the money.
Mark, can I just ask you something about this? And John brought it up earlier on, about this handshake and cuddle at the end of the game. I mean, are you really suggesting that because Pedro Caixinha took the hand of Brendan Rodgers and shook it and had a smile and exchanged pleasantries, that somehow he's not aching inside, that somehow he is not hurting and embarrassed by that performance? Do you really think that if Brendan Rodgers had put his hand out and Pedro Caixinha had brushed it aside, that would have made it all okay for Rangers fans?
No, I think they should have done it behind closed doors.
It's a handshake, Mark. It's a handshake.
Did Jock Wallace have a shake?
Who cares, Mark? Who cares? It's a handshake.
I quite agree with Derek in a way as well. The team's it's going to be like the goalkeeper would give the player of the year and see the fourth and I would give him Rangers player of the year because he saved Rangers. I know Kenny Miller's been great. It's hard to pick between the two.
Well, Kenny Miller won it. Kenny Miller won the player of the year last night.
Did he win it, Derek?
And Clint Hill. What did he got? He got
I don't know, but Emerson Hyneman get young player.
Hyneman get the young player of the year as well, aye.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Here's Stuart in Cumbernauld. Hi, Stuart.
How are you doing?
All right, Stuart.
I was just wondering what the panel thought regarding the holiday tackle on the young boy Roberts. If the young boy Roberts had made more of it, maybe influenced the referee a wee bit more.
If he'd leaned down, if he hadn't got up straight away, Patrick Roberts, then perhaps Willie Collum might have stopped play.
And I think the young boy to be commended for that, for getting up and not cheating, like, no.
Yeah. But by getting up, Willie Collum is then encouraged to let Celtic go forward. Callum McGregor gets off a shot, which Wes Botheringham saves. Yeah. But as I say, Dermot Gallagher's got one pair of eyes, and so have I. I think it was a completely outrageous tackle at that stage of the game.
I think you make a good point. I think how he never caught him, I'll never know. I mean, Patrick Roberts was so quick at getting out the road of it. Had he gone down, mind you, if he didn't touch him and he's gone down feigning injury, then he would have got stick for that. But if he was caught and he'd stayed down, then I think the referee would have had to have stopped the game because it would have been a bad challenge. Then he might have got the red card.
I've heard people say, oh, if it'd been later on in the game, he'd have got a red card. But that's like saying Aberdeen scored after 12 seconds against Hibs. That really shouldn't stand. It's too early.
Yeah, far too early.
We weren't ready.
Yeah. Can we start again?
Yeah, absolutely. Patrick Roberts has to be commended for getting up when he could easily stay in the ground. A lot of people compared that tackle to Scott Brown's tackle and Liam Boyce the week before. Different for you, Derek?
No, Scott Brown knew what he was doing. I mean, Halliday knew what he was doing as well, to be fair, but he didn't catch him. Scott did. And got him on the ankle. That could have been a really serious one. That is a straight red right away.
It's 25-7. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson taking your calls through till about 5-8 tonight. Let's hear from Scott Brown, the Celtic captain. He ended up being man of the match. I'm not sure whether he broke sweat during the match though, but he's warning the rest of Scottish football that Celtic won't rest in their quest for perfection. Just one win from a domestic clean sweep after easing past Rangers to book their place in the Scottish Cup final. The Celtic captain spoke to Gordon Duncan after yesterday's 2-0 win at Hampden.
It was an outstanding performance, very, very professional from start to finish. And I think the second half we knew they would come out and change tactics, and the gaffer had already sorted pretty much their team at half time. So we were already ahead of them that way, and we knew they'd come out, press us high up the park, and our pace and our quality it showed at the end.
Were you surprised how much you had it your own way, particularly in the first half?
No, I think we knew if we turned up and we played to our strengths and our movement and our pace, that we can control the game, and we've done that for the first 45 minutes.
We've been talking about this treble all season, but now it really is within touching distance. Sum up how great an achievement it's been so far.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic season. It's been great to give something back to the fans as well, especially after a couple of seasons ago when we didn't make the cup final. But it's more for them than anything, and we've got great players in that dressing room, and now everyone's fighting for a position in the cup final now.
Just think to a year ago, standing here after getting beaten off Rangers, can you even put into words how far the team's come since then?
No, it's night and day since then. We're so much fitter and stronger. But it's just great. The manager's came in, he's changed a few things, not too many. And it's all shown on the pitch now.
Scott Brown there speaking after the game yesterday. John is in Coatbridge. He's on the line. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, John.
How you doing, lads?
Hi, John. What's your point?
Look, chuckle vision about handshake. Anyway, the place you know, Celtic are not getting is annoying me. The last time I seen a performance like that was a 4-0 game, sure. Billy Mayne's covered the header in the first 5 minutes.
1969 for younger listeners.
69. I knew it was in the 60s.
Did you say, John, that the praise that Celtic aren't getting is annoying you?
No, well, no, it's not annoying me. I'm chuckled, you know, the way the Rangers are pinpointing the guys saying Brendan's hand. There's 22 players saying one another's hand on the park. Mm. You know, but I mean, Celtic just played them off the park, all every area, even the pundits praised it on the sports scene. And the two, they were lucky they weren't down to 9 men after half an hour. They two guys should be sent off, red cards all the way.
It's down to the question, is Derek, was this because Celtic were so good? Was it because Rangers were so bad? Or was it somewhere in the middle?
Well, I think Hugh summed it up really well yesterday. You know, Celtic did what they had to do. You know, the Celtic weren't absolutely brilliant. You know, some of the Celtic fans were saying after Celtic knew they were getting able to get the ball and pass it around, and Rangers were chasing most of the game. You know, we watched the first half where Celtic took the lead and only created one other chance for as much as the 65% possession that they had. Most of the possession was in their own half, the back four passing it to each other. You know, Celtic did enough to win the game, plenty. Rangers were absolutely abysmal, but you can't take that away from Celtic. They can only play what's in front of them. They've won the game 2-0. It could have been more at the start of the second half. And as I said, that 12-minute period near the end of the game where Rangers had three or four really good chances to score to get themselves back in the game, it didn't happen. And at the end of the day, Celtic were worthy winners.
And incidentally, just to put this to bed, we are in a newsroom here where every daily newspaper is available to us. Every daily newspaper has supplements today on that one game alone. The praise that has been heaped upon Celtic has been lavish, and justifiably so. The criticism that has been heaped upon Rangers has been considerable, and justifiably so. So let there be no doubt about it. Celtic got absolutely every ounce of praise due to them, and Rangers get every ounce of criticism due to them. And incidentally, the final in 1969 was even more one-sided than yesterday.
And the next instalment is only 5 days away. It's 20 minutes to seven. More travel from Amber when we come back. It's Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scottish football has a voice. Add yours to the debate on Super Scoreboard. Call now 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
When you are not feeling that fear and you don't enjoy and you don't perform the way you need it. So we were a little bit blocked, maybe. In that point, I can agree with you. And if you are blocked, even if you have the best organization in the world and the best ideas in the world, you cannot perform. So that's what I really felt regarding to the first half. And with that fact that we could not annul the two midfielder players from the opponent, which were doing everything, we could not have the ball, we could not attack, we could not have our game when we try to recover the ball in some parts of the pitch.
It's 7:15. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Here's Geoffrey in Giffnock. Hi, Geoffrey.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Geoff.
Just to let you know, I'm at Newlandsfield watching Pollock Juniors against Kirkintilly.
Oh, thanks for phoning in. How's the game going? How's it going?
Well, it's not started yet. It kicks off at 7:15.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, now I'll get to my point. I was at the game yesterday. Very disappointed with the score. We couldn't play better. It was like a different team from last year. My main concerns is we had a player on the bench called Clint Hill who scored a fantastic goal at Parkhead. I can't understand why they didn't play him from the start. I thought Celtic played very well. It's going to take us at least 2 to 3 years to get to the stage where Celtic are just now. And another concern is, come the summer, where's the money going to come from? Because if Dave King is still to pay out this £11 million to the shareholders, what money's going to have to buy players?
Well, that £11 million is still a matter for debate. We'll let those who have to debate it handle the situation. With regard to Clint Hill, I assume that he was on the bench because he wasn't fit enough to play.
He'd only trained the last 3 days.
Yeah, in his first training session on Friday, the game was on Sunday. I have to assume he was unfit and would only have come on in an extreme emergency. But you're right to highlight the fact that now we have come to that point in Rangers affairs where something has to give now, because it has been made abundantly clear how far in front Celtic are. Celtic will also aim for Champions League money again next season. Brendan Rodgers today saying that he wants to have Celtic making their mark in Europe next season as one of his main targets. So in order to do that, he'll need to play in the Champions League. If he does that, more tens of millions for Celtic. Even if Virgil van Dijk goes in the summer, there are more millions for Celtic if he leaves Southampton for another club. These are the problems that confront Rangers. So now we have arrived at that situation where Dave King is firmly up against a wall.
If we're looking for positives for Rangers, Derry, I mean, David Bates yesterday, there was nothing really stand out that he did wrong. Miles Bierman, despite
Bierman
a couple of tackles
on,
yeah.
And we thought he might have taken him off and brought on Hodgson, because the last thing you need is to go down to 10 men. But the second half, I thought he did really well, playing against a very, very good player. So can't complain about them. Clint Hill, you couldn't have thrown in after being out for two and a half weeks or what it was. But he was there. It had something drastic happen to one of the back four, then he would have come on. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, and I think the manager liked to play the kids. He saw them in the last three games, albeit Aberdeen, who at this moment in time, the second best team in Scotland. The two of them played really well up at Pittodrie, the two kids. So I don't think he had any hesitation in playing them.
Well, we'll let Geoffrey get to his game. That one's kicked off at Newlands then. Here's Frank in Southside. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Jerry, and Hugh and Derek. Okay. A quick point on the field and a point off the field, if that's okay, Jerry. My on-the-field point is quite simple. What on earth are Rangers or Pedro Coutinho going to do between now and Sunday that's going to have any material effect on the outcome of that game?
Well, you could say the same. I mean, I keep going back to the one each game at Celtic Park. You know, Rangers played really well that day. I mean, Rangers fans wouldn't have been saying, how do I lift ourselves for the next game? Because they played well. And that is the problem in this Rangers side. There's no consistency at all. They play well one game and then they're poor the next. I think they'll be wound up for Saturday. I think this will be a different Rangers side that comes out. You know what I would do? I would throw in the dressing room all week. I would get John Brown in there. I would get Mark Hatley. I would throw in John Gregg, and I would get them to go around these players and give them a right good talking to. That's what I would do. Get them really wound up. They shouldn't need that, to be perfectly honest, if you're a Rangers player and you're playing against Celtic. But I think some of them do need that.
Frank, it's not exactly ancient history. 2000, Martin O'Neill's first Old Firm game, Celtic 6, Rangers 2. Martin O'Neill's second Old Firm game, Rangers 5, Celtic 1.
Okay, Hugh. I think Derek's points are quite illuminating there when he suggests that what Rangers need at the moment are people whose, let's say, approach to football, as in John Gregg and John Brown, that approach to football, let's say, not quite the silky football.
No, but I'm not talking about how they're going to. I'm just talking about getting the players wound up, getting some fire in their belly. I'm not talking about going out and kicking. I'm talking about going out and closing people down and running your socks off and doing everything you can to stop the opposition playing.
Frank,
I'm not talking about going out and kicking people.
Frank, who have been the two greatest Celtic men in your opinion since you've been watching the club?
Jimmy Johnson, Henrik Larsson.
Well, if Celtic had suffered what Rangers suffered yesterday, would you have any objection to them going into the dressing room and giving some sort of motivational talk?
I think you know what I'm talking about. But actually, my favourite is Paul McStay, but we'll go back to the other man who wouldn't go kicking people up and down the park. I think yesterday we saw enough kicking up and down the park from a few Rangers players. If you want to heat, wait a minute, Derek, we have a point for everybody interrupts here. That if you want even more of that approach from John Brown and John Gregg, Derek, then I think we know what we're in for on Saturday. We better get the old stainless steel shin guards on.
Listen, I never even mentioned that. I mean, you're jumping ahead of it. I'm just saying, with the passion that these players have got for Rangers Football Club, trying to get some of that passion into the players. That's what I'm not talking about, going out and kicking people. That's you,
Derek,
saying that. No, I never said that.
No, but Derek, the approach of these players is what's important. But never mind. That's that point. I don't think Rangers have a lot to offer for next Saturday. I would hope Celtic play with as much skill and, professionalism as they showed yesterday. And that's not being arrogant. I just hope that we do the same. I'm sure we will. Brendan will have them sorted. My second point is quite probably more important. I think we've witnessed over the last season behaviour from Rangers fans, which is nothing short of disgusting and disgraceful in the terraces. And in wrecking people's toilets and destroying parts of people's grounds. I just thought that quite possibly, when Rangers went to the wall in 2012, the new club would actually maybe put some sort of mission statement to say, let's get rid of this sectarian bile, let's bin this garbage and, you know, treat people like human beings, everybody's equal.
Frank.
And no, wait a minute, Hugh. Again, you're going to jump in, Hugh, and interrupt in mid-flow, Jet, Hugh, and you'll do the old one side's as bad as the other. My dad's is bigger than your dad.
Now you're not interrupting. You are in actual fact forecasting what I will say.
Well, but Hugh, but we know we're going to say the same thing for 25 years, Hugh. And what I'm trying to focus on here is one particular point, if we could focus on this. And then if you want to talk about something else, we will.
Frank, I'll direct the programme. You just get to your point, please.
Right, Jerry, but I'm trying to, but I keep getting interrupted.
No, no, you've had plenty of time, Frank. Just get to your point, please. I'm getting very close to the news. I'm giving you the time and the space. Can you just get to your point?
Okay, Jerry. It's about the sectarian and vile behaviour, songs, even new songs that they're constructing about Catholics from the Rangers fans. And this point is swept under the carpet. We had Aberdeen, the whole game against Aberdeen last week, unless it was death, they would have heard what they were singing. Yesterday, before they went completely silent after they were wiped away, they were giving it the sectarian stuff. Disgraceful behaviour.
All right, Frank. Right, 0141 951 1025.
Let's say something before we're accused of sweeping it all under the carpet.
Yeah.
I repeat, there's a game between Celtic and Rangers development sides at Hampden on Wednesday night, which is closed to the public because of previous disturbances at under 17 games, most notably at Firhill a few seasons ago. I also abhor songs better left unsung by any football club. Any football club. And yes, the songs sung by the Rangers supporters yesterday were to be deplored, but no one comes out of this entirely unblemished, and that will infuriate Frank, but it does go on with Celtic supporters from time to time.
And can I just say, you know, this is, you know, I understand how, you know, passions are high and all that with the games like this, but, you know, and I understand, but this is a family show as well, and there are ways of describing things, and there are graphic ways of describing things, and not, so that's why I had to cut Frank off there. It's getting close to the news time here on Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Right, Beat the Pundit coming up after your 7 o'clock news. Will it be Hugh Keevans or will it be Derek Johnson tonight? We'll find out, but you've got to give us a call first. 0141 951 1025. We'll then toss the coin and we'll get on with it. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time to get off the fence and tell it like it is. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 2 minutes past seven. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson taking your calls tonight on 0141 951 1025. Still to come this hour, we'll hear from Craig Gordon, the Celtic goalkeeper. He spoke to Gordon Duncan after yesterday's 2-0 victory.
Beat the Pundit with Inside Sport in the Scottish Sun. The best news features and columnists every Sunday.
Right, before that, time for Beat the Pundit. John is a St Mirren fan and he's in East Kilbride and he's on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, hello, Jerry.
Oh,
hello,
buddy. Goodness me, you're a happy man tonight, John.
We get beaten by Dundee United. We could have won that game, sure, I won that game, but for another ridiculous referee decision, you know. But anyway, we've got Raith Rovers next Saturday, and that's the biggest game, arguably one of the biggest games in St Mirren's history. We have to beat them. But I'm a bit concerned about, they're playing the Hibs, Raith Rovers are playing Hibs, and it's either tomorrow night or Wednesday night at Easter Road, and Hibs by now, well, they're out of the cup, they've won the league, so they might be in kind of holiday mode and that, you know. But,
not with their manager, no.
We're looking for me, John McGinn, to do us a favour, you know.
It's on Wednesday, John, the game's on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Well, I'll be looking for that result anyway for a Hibs win there, but me, John McGinn, and then we play Hibs the last game of the season, so we need to beat Raith Rovers next Saturday at home, and then we have to probably beat Hibs as well. But so, I think John McGinn might do his brother a favour and lie down for that game, you know.
Oh dear.
Hopefully, if you're listening.
It was like the Shinny brothers at the weekend. No.
Hey.
Right, John, let's do that.
You're an innocent man, you have to be, to make a statement like that.
Aye.
John, let's do this then. Hugh Keevans will be heads, Derek Johnson will be tails.
Okay.
And it is tails, so you're up against Derek Johnson tonight, John, okay?
It's no Mark Wilson. Can you not phone Mark to get in? No,
you need
Mark's
to do
quite clever.
You need to do a Thursday for that one, John.
All right. So who have I got, Derek?
You've got Derek Johnson. Right, let's make sure you can't hear this right. Okay, John, here we go. 30 seconds. On the clock for yourself, and your time on Beat the Pundit begins now. Which Rangers player brought down Lee Griffiths to give Celtic a penalty yesterday?
Tavernier.
How many goals does Lionel Messi now have for Barcelona?
This
this season.
No, in total?
Oh, in total, 147.
Who were Aberdeen's opponents the last time they won the Scottish Cup, 1990?
Dundee United.
Fans of Grimsby Town have been banned from taking what into their match this coming weekend at Barnet?
Fish.
Who is second place in the Scottish Championship?
Second in the Championship is Falkirk.
All right, your time is up, John.
No, it's not.
Oh, it is, John. 30 seconds goes in quickly. Stay right there. Right, Derek Johnson, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which Rangers player brought down Lee Griffiths to give Celtic a penalty yesterday? How many goals does Lionel Messi now have for Barcelona?
500.
Who were Aberdeen's opponents the last time they won the Scottish Cup in 1990?
St Johnson.
Fans of Grimsby Town have been banned from taking what into their next match against Barnet?
What, Sons?
Who is second place in the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
Who had a last minute header save for Hibs in the final moments of Saturday's Scottish Cup semis?
Marciano.
How many places in the Scottish Premiership are now available for a European spot?
Four.
Other than Rangers, name one team Ian Durant played for.
Man City.
Okay, look, your time is up. Right, John, how are you feeling?
Oh, well, Jerry got a lot more questions than me. That's not very fair. Come on.
It was the same.
What doing, Derek? You're the same age as me, you know.
You're 51 as well.
You're pressing the buzzer too quick there, you know. So
let's go through them then. Which Rangers player brought down Lee Griffiths to give Celtic a penalty yesterday? You both got off to a good start there, James Tavernier. How many goals does Lionel Messi now have for Barcelona? You obviously weren't tuned in last night, John, when the world was talking about Lionel Messi getting his 500th goal for Barcelona.
I thought it was this season you're talking about.
No, it wasn't this season. I never said that. Who were Aberdeen's opponents the last time they won the Scottish Cup in 1990? Who was it, Hugh Keevans?
Celtic.
It was Celtic. They also beat Celtic in 84 and 70. In fact, the last loss to Celtic in a final was 50 years ago. Believe it or not, that's obviously the Scottish Cup final we're talking about. Fans of Grimsby Town have been banned from taking what into their match this coming weekend at Barnet? Derek, you said
their sons.
You said their sons. John, for some reason, said fish.
Fish suppers, you know.
Fish Grimsby famous, good
best
fishing
fish suppers in Britain.
Yeah,
is that right, John?
Yeah,
it's a fishing town. Grimsby.
Oh, well, listen, I love a calculated guess. That was well done. But the answer is inflatables.
Inflatable fish, yeah, boy.
Well, you could get inflatable fish, John, couldn't you?
Aye, of course.
See, if you'd said inflatable fish, I'd have given you.
Right.
Who's second place in the Championship? You both knew that was Falkirk. Who had a last minute header save for Hibs? It was, of course, Marciano, the other goalkeeper. How many places in the Scottish Premiership are now available for a European spot? That, of course, because Hibs were knocked out of the Cup. And it is four. Derek, your pal, Ian Durant. The teams he played for.
Yeah.
If he's listening, he'll be shouting at the radio. Kilmarnock, and he was on loan at Everton as well.
He's Everton.
Never played for Man City.
He wanted to play for Man City, to be fair.
Oh, should I give you half a point for that?
Oh, I'll get slaughtered now. Oh, no.
You got five to John's two.
Oh, that's good. I only get one the last time I was on. I get thrashed 5-1 by Andy McLaren. I thought, oh, this will be easy. Andy's just a bit of a player. You know, you're not going to watch, you know. 5-1. But, so at least I beat. That was my target. My target was beating one. So.
All right, your target was beating one. It wasn't beating Derek. Well, that's all right then, John. Hard lines. You didn't manage John, do you have a season ticket for St Mirren?
I sell the programmes down there. So
Do you?
I didn't need one, you know. So
John, I bet you can sell a few with that chat.
Eh? Well, it'll be the biggest crowd of the season probably.
Well,
I hope so. You know, I hope more and more folk come out.
You're right.
The fans have been brilliant. So,
yeah.
But this is really a vital game on Saturday coming. So come on the buddies and come on the Hibs on Wednesday night.
And come on the fans next week as well, the St Mirren fans. Get to that game.
I was just wondering what the people round about, John, if he did have a season ticket, thought of him. But listen, John, it's great to hear from you.
Hey, brother, all the best anyway.
All the best, John.
How would you find the time to read a programme if he's talking to you all the time?
Just give me your money. Take my money. 7:08 on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I've got a full-time teaser for the chaps. I'll tell you just now, there are...
Oh, here we go. 48 players.
No. There are...
His name ends in an E.
There are 26 answers. There are 26 answers. However, it's not as bad as it sounds. You will be writing these answers down so quickly that your hand will be sore, and you'll probably get to the point where there's a couple and you're thinking, oh, at least. So don't panic just yet. Here is Joe in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Joe.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. Oh, you're through.
Panel, just a couple of, or just one even point to put across. I was listening to you earlier on, talking about the two young Rangers defenders yesterday. Is it Bates and Bierman?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought they did okay. I'm a Celtic fan. I think the last couple of games have probably done okay as well. But I just want to compare them a wee bit to what I suppose the young players at Celtic have brought through recently, the likes of Tierney. The impact after two or three games compared to the impact that Bates and Bierman have had over two or three games. And just to see, okay, you're saying that they've done okay, but are there really anything on the likes of Tierney?
Well, Kieran Tierney is clearly an outstanding talent. He was last season's Young Player of the Year. I don't know if he's still young enough to be Young Player of the Year again this season, but he'd be number one contender if he is. He could even be a contender for the Player of the Year. But to be absolutely fair, he is an outstanding talent, but he came into he is part of a Celtic side that is carrying all before them. So
he's playing with better players.
Yeah, exactly. Playing with better players. Yeah. But he is, on an individual basis, an outstanding talent, Kieran Tierney. One of the best we have ever produced. But therefore, he cannot be compared, or Miles Bierman cannot be compared to Kieran, because Miles Bierman has played four or five games for Rangers. You have to give him a little time. You should be happy for Kieran Tierney and understanding of where Miles Bierman is in his career.
I'd probably agree. I just think in terms of where the future lies for the players, when Rangers are bringing through young people and what we're saying they're doing well, when we look at where the likes of Bates or Bierman might end up now, obviously it's too early to tell exactly where, but after four or five games, and thinking this guy could make it quite big here. When I look at Bates and Bierman, I'm not getting that impression.
Well, that's entirely up to you. You know, by your own admission, you're a Celtic supporter, and therefore all of your sympathies lie with Kieran Tierney. But as I say, Kieran Tierney, for the avoidance of any doubt, is one of the most outstanding players to be developed in this country for decades. He is an exceptional talent. He has improved at such a ferocious rate that he's a member of the Scotland set up now, and I'm not sure if he's out of his teens yet, Kieran. If he is, it's only a matter of weeks out of his teens. So he is one of the best talents produced for years and years and years, a worthy successor to a Danny McGrain at Celtic Park. You've got Rangers, you've got 33 points on them, you've got the cup, you've got the league, you're going for the treble. Can't you just be happy with Kieran Tierney rather than trying to pick fault with a kid from Cyprus who's not yet played 10 games for Rangers?
Malta.
Malta. Yeah.
Malta.
He's a Malteser. Yep.
Joe?
He'll probably still get a game for Scotland in the future, mind you, would he not?
But I have no idea if he qualifies, actually. Does he qualify?
I think, well, he plays for the under-20s Maltese side.
Yeah, but that
times.
Won't matter. He can still qualify for other nations, but no, only if he has got the criteria. I'm not sure. Whether, so. Do you know if he does, Joe?
I don't think he does.
No, I don't know.
Like, no. He doesn't have anybody Scottish. No. He likes haggis, maybe.
No, there's the schooling rule as well. I don't know. Does that still apply? Goodness me, I don't know. Connor is in Crawford. Hi, Connor.
Hi, man. How's it going? How's it going, guys?
Hi, Connor.
I just want to make a couple of points. First point was just about you know, the game yesterday, and how much, you know, Celtic dominated. And in terms of the Rangers team, obviously I know it was their Player of the Year awards last night, and Heineman, who's on loan, you know, Kenny Miller, Clint Hill all won awards, but, you know, two of them are out of contract, one is going away on loan, and it's just the whole spine of the team is about to disappear. And it's just, I cannot see Rangers catching up with Celtic for a long, long time if the spine of the team is potentially about to disappear. I just want to see what you guys thought about that. I know you said that Dave Smalley, you know, they need a whole new team, but at the start of the season, you were tipping this team to win the league.
Well, we arrived at the stage where, as I said earlier, Dave King's back is now firmly against the wall. He has got to come up with the plan, because the squad, as was able to be witnessed yesterday, that squad, as it stands, will never catch Celtic. Therefore, the rebuilding job will need to be done. Celtic, in the meantime, will go on spending big. Brendan Rodgers has said two or three players of quality in the summer because he wants to make a mark on Europe next season. So the task from this distance facing Rangers is monumental.
But listen, Hugh, I mean, the people that are running Rangers and the owners and everyone else, they're all Rangers men. We all know that. They're watching it like supporters. I mean, they are supporters. Yeah. And they're watching that game yesterday. How do you think they feel? Do you think they're saying to themselves, well, we don't really need an awful lot of money to make this a better side? They know fine well what they have to do.
Yeah, I do.
And that's it. But, I mean, they're not going to spend £15-20 million Rangers. Rangers don't want to get into the situation they were in a few years ago. That's never going to happen. They're going to spend some money, but they've got to be prudent with it. And that's why I'm saying agents, they're going to have to get well in with agents. And even if it is free transfer men, not free transfer, players whose contracts are up. That, and Pedro Mendes has got a lot of players like that on his books. He'll be hoping, Kishina, that he can supply some of these players. Because, as I say, they need the spine of the team. You need five or six players, at least, that are better than what Rangers have got to have any chance of competing at all.
And I understand that they are all Rangers-minded and are unhappy with the way things are at the moment and want to transform the situation if they can. What I am saying, though, is that we've now come to that stage where it's like turning the page of a book. You need to turn the page to see exactly what happens next. We don't know what happens next. And these men, these Rangers-minded men, are the ones who have to deliver a positive story for the Rangers supporters.
I find it interesting because, you know, some of you guys were tipping this team to win the league at the start of the year. And then, obviously, a number of weeks ago when, you know, Rangers got a point at Celtic Park. It was a different story. The gap wasn't as big. And then the past few weeks, a lot of certain, you know, media outlets have been talking about this attacking style the new Rangers manager has been employing. I saw absolutely no evidence of that yesterday. I don't watch, obviously, a lot of Rangers games the last few weeks. I haven't seen anything. But they showed no evidence of that yesterday. So I don't know where, you know, that's been coming from in the past few weeks.
It came from Brendan Rodgers as well, to be honest, because he spoke about, you know, ahead of this game, Connor, about how Rangers are playing differently, and those were descriptions that he used as well, Connor.
That's interesting. I think you as well, Jerry, you said, I don't know if it was maybe last week or the week before, I don't think you saw any evidence of it. I don't know if it was the Kilmarnock game, the one you seen, you said that you hadn't, you know, so far seen any evidence of that, and then yesterday obviously proved that even more, and now people were saying they need obviously an entire new team, but it was do you know what I mean? I find that a wee bit baffling,
Connor,
to be honest.
Connor, be baffled. It's part of the game. If Celtic win on Saturday, they'll go 36 points ahead of Rangers. That's living in a different postcode. 36 points. So I would say to you this, Connor, enjoy what you have. Have a wee think about it. Enjoy what Brendan Rodgers has done for you.
No, listen, I'm thoroughly enjoying it every week. Trust me, Hugh.
But you've gone through all the media outlets, and he said this, and they said that.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, but listen, you've got joy in your hands here. You've got the League Cup. You've got the Championship without losing a game. You've got the potential for a 36-point lead over Rangers if Celtic win at Ibrox. Enjoy.
Believe me, Hugh, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But
your whole phone call is dedicated to he said this and they said that. Never once have you praised Brendan Rodgers for the work done since July.
Well, Hugh, I think you're kind of turning around what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the number of weeks I've saw plenty of articles praising Rangers for this new attacking style, and what I'm saying is yesterday they showed absolutely nothing.
I don't think there's any doubt, Connor, that yesterday Rangers seemed to change their approach, maybe because it was against Celtic, I've no idea, but if you ask anybody who's been to the last three or four Rangers games under Pedro Kishina, they will all tell you, including Brendan Rodgers, Derek, that Rangers are playing a more pressing game. They're getting forward quicker.
Yeah, but certainly not yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yes, they have been doing that. Connor, it's like the last Old Firm game at Celtic Park. Celtic never turned up that day. No, you're in Dembele's and Sinclair's and people like that never played. We never saw anything attacking wise from Celtic that day. But that's the good thing about Celtic this season. They don't have to play as well. They still get They still get draws. They've only had, what, three draws, four draws, and they win games because they've got better players than anybody else. Now and again that happens. I've never seen Rangers play as poorly as they did on Sunday. And I'll tell you this for a fact, it won't be the same next Saturday. You bet your boots on that.
0141 951 1025. It's 20 past 7. I've got a full time teaser for the guys next.
Football is all a matter of opinions. Call now to share yours on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 24 minutes past 7. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here tonight taking your calls. The number, as it has been all season and before that, was 0141 951 1025. Andy from Scott's Footy Cards, followed him on Twitter, has sent, he sent this as two full-time teasers, but I've combined them into one big full-time teaser. So get yourself a fresh sheet of paper. Hugh and Derek, and here is the question. Since 1991, right, let me tell you this. In 1991, Liam Brady was the Celtic manager and Walter Smith was the Rangers manager. Okay, in 1991, can you name all of the managers of Celtic and Rangers since then? Right, okay. Now the tricky thing about this is that he wants you to include all the interim and the caretaker managers, right?
Put it this way, are you including Joe Jordan in this?
No, because Joe Jordan went the day after.
Yeah, but for a day he was in charge.
Well, he wasn't because there was no game. He resigned the day after.
Right, okay, I'm just clarifying the situation.
So all of these managers at least took the team for a game, right? Whether it be in a caretaker, whether it be in a actually proper interim manager or full-time bona fide manager. I can tell you that including Liam Brady, I'm looking for 15 Celtic names. And including Walter Smith, I'm looking for 11 Rangers names. So you'll be writing lots of them down just now, but we're looking for 15 Celtic managers, including Liam Brady, and 11 Rangers managers, including Walter Smith. This is from 1991, and we're including any manager who took charge of the team, the first team, for a game of football. Interim managers, caretaker managers, and all the rest.
I'll give you one that interim.
Ian Durant.
One game, Ian Durant.
Ian Durant, exactly.
Yeah, Dunfermline, he got beat.
So that would be one that you might not normally put, but yes, as far as this question is concerned, Ian Durant is in there. Jamie is in Kilbarkin. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I was at the game yesterday. I loved the results, Celtic fan. So it was really good. But the reason I've not phoned in for a while was Derek's comment, I think, just before the break here, and he said he could assure me that Rangers are going to show up a different team.
Yes.
Right, on Saturday, Derek. And he did say it, right? But you said there was a venom in your voice.
Well, I'm angry.
You're allowed to be angry watching that kind of
absolutely
nonsense, right? You said it away, Derek, which the only way that team can show up is, and the way I interpreted it,
don't be saying a physical way.
By half in Celtic, that's the only way that team can show up and do any damage against Celtic.
Put it this way, Jamie, did Rangers hack it against Celtic in the 1-1 game at Celtic Park?
Well, did Rangers, two players, half Celtic and Paddy Roberts in the first few minutes yesterday?
No, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the 1-1 game when Rangers played well. They're going to have to do something like that anything. That's all I'm saying to you. I think they will get so much stick. And I think that there will be players, the Scottish players in that side will be getting into these players and say, listen, this doesn't happen at Ibrox, we're at home. And I think you've got to give a wee bit more. And I think they will. I think it'll be a far, far different game.
Well, I think it'll be a far different game because Pedro Caixinha, as I like to call him, Curious George, he showed up yesterday and he just thought he would walk the park. Now, Graham Murphy should have actually been managing the team. He showed a better performance than them. You don't think so? I mean,
well, come on, let us be honest. I mean, he didn't show up with that attitude. He showed up with the wrong tactics. He possibly showed up with the wrong team. And they certainly showed up with the wrong attitude.
They certainly did. But do you not think, right, coming up on Saturday for the game, the only way Rangers can compete with Celtic is by booting them off the park. And I'm not being snide about it. I really mean that.
No,
that was the only way they're going to be able to compete with Celtic.
But you're using emotive language that we couldn't possibly use. I mean, that you would not expect people in our position to say that the Rangers would be planning to boot Celtic off the park on Saturday. What Rangers will be hoping to do,
stop them playing, stop them playing at all costs.
I have at all costs is beyond the mark, because that leaves you open to all sorts of insinuations and allegations. What Rangers will be hoping to do, and I underline hoping rather than planning, because they planned things for Sunday and none of the plans worked, but what they'll be hoping to do is to have a better attitude than was evident yesterday. Hope that players who were found seriously wanting yesterday can find a performance from within themselves, because Rangers don't have an awful lot of alternatives. You know, they have what they have, and the majority of those who played yesterday will need to play on Saturday again. So they will be hoping to do all of those things. I have no doubt that there will be feisty tackles. I have no doubt that there will be flashpoints at various stages in the game. Absolutely no doubt, because that's the nature of the beast. But it's unfair from this distance to say Rangers will have a premeditated plan to boot Celtic off the park. I can be sarcastic and say the first thing they need to do was catch a Celtic player in order to do that. But it's an old firm game, and it will be as it has been for 129 years, but there will be no premeditated plan, because, and I'll say this to you, Rangers don't have a genuine hard man in their squad.
Q, I know it probably won't happen because it just doesn't tend to happen, but we'll find out tomorrow who the referee is going to be. I mean, they just give it to Willie Collum? He had a half decent game yesterday.
Well, why not? But I don't think you get the same referee.
No.
They won't do it. But listen, I'm not interested in who the referee is. You're more important with the 22 players that are going to go out there and play. The referee can only referee what's in front of him. You know, and you don't know who it's going to go. It could be the quietest game in the world. It could be the dirtiest game in the world. We don't know.
Brendan Rodgers, he prays afterwards on the scorer of Celtic's first goal, Callum McGregor.
You know, coming into the game and the level that he's playing at, the control, the technique, and he has got a goal in him. It's a wonderful finish. So I'm really pleased for him that supporters are starting to probably take a little look at him and see, actually, this kid's a good player. He might not be, like I say, a European name, or this is a boy from Scotland who's a really technically gifted player. He knows the game and tactically plays the game to a really high level. So, but collectively, we were very good.
Brendan Rodgers heaping praise on Callum McGregor. Hugh, he is a bit of an unsung hero. We don't get many Celtic fans calling in here. You know, we get them on Sinclair, on Tierney, on Dembele, on Rogic, Armstrong. Not McGregor.
I think it's the star system. You know, Kieran Tierney, this remarkable talent that Celtic uncovered, and as I say, one of the best discoveries for decades. And then you have Sinclair, bought for £3.5 million, who from his very first day in a Celtic jersey has been outstanding. Dembele, we all know about him. But it's almost as if Callum was a work experience boy who get into the job. But
it's a bit bizarre because Tierney comes up through the system and Celtic fans love him for that. Yeah. McGregor's the same.
But McGregor doesn't play every week. And that's the problem. Tierney does play every week and plays really well every week. Callum will come in for a couple of games and be out for three or four games. But he's a smashing player. I think it's great to have somebody like that. And I think he'll appreciate that, the unsung hero. He's certainly been talked about this weekend, that's for sure.
Listen, let me give you... I have 14 names here.
Oh, right. For
Celtic.
For Celtic, okay.
I'll go through them slowly, and clearly I am missing one. Right, starting with Liam Brady. Lou McCarrie. Tommy Burns, Billy Stark, Wim Janssen, Joe Venglos, Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan, Neil Lennon, Tony Mowbray, John Barnes, Kenny Dalglish, Ronnie Dyla, Brendan Rodgers.
14, correct.
Right, so I'm
missing one more.
I just wrote them all down.
Yeah.
I had Brady, McCarrie, Smith, Walter Smith,
Oh, no, hold on. Give me, right, well, Hugh's got 14 Celtic. Have you got any other Celtic ones?
Well, I was just trying. I'm looking through. Do I have any Celtic ones? I've got O'Neill, Lennon, Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
Dial, I've got him as well. Strachan, Stark, Burns, Mowbray, Dalglish, Barnes.
Yeah, all there. You've not got the
Van Gloss.
You've not got the one that Hugh's missing. Right, give me the Rangers ones you've got then.
The Rangers
Derek.
Ones I'm looking at. Smith, Souness, Durant, McCoys, McLeish.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Right, go for it.
What have you got? Durant,
Smith,
Smith, Souness, Durant,
Durant, yeah,
McCoys,
McCoys, yeah,
McLeish,
McLeish.
Who's
yeah.
the Frenchman? You,
Le Guin,
Le Guin, Paul Le Guin,
yeah,
Dick Advocaat, Graham Murty.
By the way, Souness isn't in it. Souness was before.
Was he just before it? Okay,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yes.
Graham Murty.
Who have you said? You've said Walter Smith, you've said Alex McLeish, Paul Le Guin, Ian Durant, Ali McCoys, Graham Murty,
Warburton, obviously.
Warburton, Warburton yeah. Obviously, Pedro Caixinha.
Yeah. That's all I've got just now.
All right.
Because I'd written a lot of Celtic ones.
Just confirm
well.
That. Just confirm those Rangers names and just make sure I haven't ticked off ones here.
Okay, well, so, I've got Smith.
Yep.
Durant.
Yep.
McCoys, McLeish, Le Guin, Advocaat.
Yep.
Murty.
Advocaat. That's I knew you'd said one that I hadn't ticked off. Advocaat, Murty, yeah.
Caixinha.
Yeah.
And Warburton.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I've
yeah,
got.
So you've got 9 out of the 11, so two still to get.
Two
still to get for Rangers and one still to get for Celtic. It's 25-8 on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Here's Rob, he's a Rangers fan and he's based down south in Nottingham. Hi Rob.
Hi guys, how you doing?
All right, Rob, what's your point?
Well, I just wanted to ask Hugh a little bit about Brendan, you know, I've been listening in for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I live in Nottingham, obviously, so I don't hear too much. In fact, the last time I called, Jimmy Sanderson was on saying, were you at the match, caller? Not get off. So I'm just amazed at how, that. You mean, look, Brendan's a great coach, there's no doubt about it. He did a great job at Liverpool, and he seems to be, you know, one of the modern young managers. But for goodness sake, I mean, he couldn't help but do what he's done at Celtic. I mean, how could he possibly fail? You know, he's got no competition. Don't talk to me about Aberdeen because they couldn't beat a drum. You know, and there's no competition whatsoever. So, what is he going to do next? How long is he going to be there? Because he's talking about signing a 4-year contract. Listen, he'll be out of there the minute somebody decent comes. I mean, he's not going to get a job in England in the top six. He's going to go to West Ham or Southampton or Stoke City would be a good one for him.
And you think he would leave Celtic for those clubs?
I think he will eventually because... You know, with all due respect to Neil Lennon, a man that gets a lot of bad press, I think he realised he'd hit a glass ceiling and he thought, what's the point?
Yeah, but Celtic, you know, Rob, Celtic destroyed the glass ceiling because with Ronnie Dyla and with the decline in the team and the crowds, Celtic smashed the glass ceiling and said, right, let's get Brendan Rodgers and we'll pay him £2.5 million per year to be the Celtic manager, which by Scottish standards is astronomical.
It is, absolutely. And
so they destroyed.
There's no real need to do it either, is there?
Well,
I mean,
Rob,
you know, £2.5 million.
Rob,
you could get somebody for.
Rob,
you could get Derek to do it.
Rob, I'm struggling to find the motivation for your call because Rob, you've come on, you've asked a question. Let me have a wee go at answering.
No problem,
it.
You. I'm delighted to talk to you.
I'm struggling to find the motivation for your call because Brendan Rodgers can only beat what's in front of him in Scotland. But part of his legacy at Celtic will be what he does for the club in Europe. That's very firmly in his mind. He says he wants to make a mark in Europe next season. Well, in order to do that, the club will need to back him to the tune of several million pounds to bring in three players of genuine quality who can help Celtic make that mark in Europe. So that's his next target. And if Rangers are able to upgrade and present a more formidable challenge to Celtic, and as Derek always says, they'll need to get above Aberdeen first of all, but if Rangers are able to upgrade what they have, then there's a greater challenge to Brendan Rodgers from his club's biggest rivals. So he signed a 4-year contract. He doesn't need to think about Stoke City or whoever you mentioned there. Brendan Rodgers is also bilingual, fluent Spanish speaker. He could look towards La Liga and he could think of a job there. But he says that he has committed himself to Celtic for the next 4 years. He used the word committed. So I'm not willing to say that Brendan Rodgers was lying when he said that. I'll take Brendan Rodgers at face value. He says he's staying for the next 4 years. We have to take him at face value.
Rob,
I agree, but I would doubt it. I mean, I think if he's there for the next 2 years, you'd be lucky.
Rob, what about the Rangers?
What about them, Derek?
You tell me what you think, and you're a fan from afar.
Well, I watched the game yesterday. I watched the previous game. I was up for the cup final against Hibs. I was up for the Celtic game last year. There's no doubt we've got some problems. Mr. Coutinho, in my opinion, got it all wrong yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was worried when they appointed him. No harm to the man. I mean, I've heard you guys talk earlier. Now with the position we're in, we have to give him some time.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the thing that got me, and going back to Hugh's point there about, you know, the gap of 33 points or whatever, before Mr. Warburton left for my other club, I was sitting there one night looking at the difference, and I had a strong feeling that I think we had lost six games and drawn five or something like that. And when I looked at that and I said to myself, if that was Alec McLeish or someone else who understands what the club's about, what would that be? It would not be 6-5. So the gap would be a lot less because we'd have someone who understands the club. And I think that's been the biggest problem, is that, you know, Mark Warburton didn't understand the club. He came up and he talked a good story, but really, he didn't understand the club. It was all too big for him.
But he brought David Weir with him, Rob.
And Derek,
he knows all about the club.
More about that than I do. But that, to all of us out here, that's a shock.
Sure.
And I don't understand what David Weir did. I mean, David Weir was a first-class defender. Now, he must have watched those games like I was watching them, saying, what in the name are these guys doing?
Well, you mentioned your other team, Rob. You've got Warburton and Weir now at Nottingham Forest. Do they understand that club?
I think Nottingham Forest is more suited to them because there's not as much pressure down here. I was at the game on Saturday.
3-0 up and then 3-2 it finished, didn't it?
Yeah, 3-2, it was nearly 3 each, to be honest. You know, they're doing the same thing again. But you know, the difference is down here. I mean, we played Huddersfield a couple of weeks ago and we beat them 2-0.
Battered them, yeah.
And the thing is, Derek, down here you can play out from the back because the other team allows you.
Yeah.
What Rangers do under Warburton and a little bit on Sunday under Coutinho, and I don't understand it, why play out for the back? Your players can't do it. They don't have the confidence to do it. And immediately the opposition, whether it's Celtic, Kilmarnock,
close you
or whoever,
down. Yep.
They know that they can pressurise you and your players put themselves under pressure. But down here you can do that. You can play out from the back. They'll allow you to do that, no problem. But so I think he'll be okay at Forest. His problem is he's jumped from the frying pan into the fire because Forest have got less money than Rangers have got. And Forest have got a man who's extremely erratic. I mean, three or four years ago now, he sacked Sean O'Driscoll on Boxing Day after beating Leeds 4-0 at home. By the time we get in the house, they'd sacked him.
Really?
Seriously? So that's the chap who owns the club currently. So, you know, both my teams are struggling at the minute. But I think Rangers, will eventually, get their act together. Yeah. I'm now concerned about Coutinho because for me, Mark Warburton, I mean, you know, Celtic Park 5-1. He sent a half get sent off and he puts on an attacking midfield player. Well, I'm screaming at the TV going, no way, man. That just proved to me that day he didn't have a clue.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Rob.
Don't be a stranger.
Rob's a Nottingham Forest fan, so he's putting up with Mark Warburton still.
Right. I'll complete the Rangers list for you.
I've got them.
Stuart McCall. Cool. And Kenny McDowell.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now we're still to complete the Celtic list.
Right. One shot.
One shot. You're listening to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What do you think of tonight's Super Scoreboard? Call now to have your say. 0141
951 1025. With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 7:45 on Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic winger Patrick Roberts says he's relieved he didn't suffer serious damage after Andy Halliday's wild lunge during their Scottish Cup semi-final win at Hampden Park yesterday. The Rangers midfielder picked up a yellow after he launched himself at Roberts 3 minutes into the match.
Rooney did it the other couple of weeks ago, so I don't know, but it was a bad tackle. I'm just thankful I didn't get hurt.
So one of them, perhaps the clock might have saved him. You know, a bit later on, is the referee more likely to show red in that instance?
I'm not sure, but it was seeing it back again. It was a terrible tackle, and like I said, I'm just thankful not to be hurt.
Rangers have failed to beat Celtic after five attempts this season, four defeats and a draw. Robert says they don't look too much at the gap between them and their rivals.
There's obviously all talk in the media, but performance-wise, obviously today was a real domination, I thought, and that's the way we've been playing all year, no matter what team it has. So I feel we've been dominant, and no matter what team we've come up against, we've shown our ability and not let it phase us. You can't really tell. All derby games, you can't, form goes out the window, and it's all about the occasion, but I think we've handled ourselves brilliantly, and we've kind of forgot about it, and we've played our game, and the ability we have on the side is always going to get a chance, and we're always going to finish the game off.
Gordon Duncan also spoke to Celtic goalkeeper Craig Gordon after the game, who felt that Celtic were dominant right from the word go.
We did. We probably should have went for more goals at that stage. We probably deserved to be more than one ahead at the break, but we seen last week and up at Ross County we totally dominated the first half, and we wanted to make sure that didn't happen again. So maybe that was a timely reminder last week that we can't rest with to go out there and perform the same way in the second half.
I think your first save came in about 60 minutes or so. Did that surprise you, or I take it you're not complaining at having such a quiet afternoon?
No, I mean, you can never tell when these games. Wes probably didn't have that many saves in the game either. You have to take your chances when they come along. We did that, and Rangers did have a goal late on when they were two behind, trying to come back into the game, and had a couple of chances then. So yeah, whenever the work comes along, that's when I have to be ready, and that could be the first minute or the last, but that's part and parcel of being a Celtic goalkeeper.
Now, one game away from the treble, how do you put that to the back of your minds for the next month or so?
Just keep winning games, keep performing well, keep carrying out the plans that the manager wants us to do, and we'll win as many games as we can between now and the end of the season. And it's something to look forward to, but we just want to keep playing and keep winning games. For me, I mean, it's great to get back in the team after missing five games earlier in the season. So it's been a really good season. Just want to finish it off in the right way and add another trophy to it.
Celtic goalkeeper Craig Gordon. Here's David in Cumbernauld. Hi, David.
Hi, fam. How's doing?
All right, David. What's your point?
All right. Celtic fan, obviously very pleased with the result yesterday, and overall very pleased with the performance. But what I noticed, and what you might have noticed yourselves, was about 75, 80 minutes in, I thought Celtic looked a wee bit ragged. Rangers came back into the game, and obviously Celtic have played a lot more games than anyone else domestically this season. We're obviously a bit more tired. After the game, when that question was put to Rodgers, he spoke about the players needing a break and how they need to have a break when they're on the ball and keep possession.
Yeah.
What that made me think of is, if we're at a stage in an Old Firm game when at 75 minutes our players are so tired that we're needlessly giving the ball away. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're in control of the game, but we gave Rangers the opportunity to get back in there, and that made me think, should Rodgers not have considered moving the squad about in the games leading up to the Old Firm? Maybe bringing in players like Beaton or Aboué to kind of give the midfield a break, so when it gets to arguably the most important game of our season, we've got depth in the squad to cope with it.
Do you not think he was just talking, in terms of during any game, players will take stages rest, where they need a little couple of minutes downtime?
I don't think tiredness was a factor at all. I think they got sloppy and they get careless. Mm-hmm. And Craig Gordon would be advised sometimes just to take the ball and put it into the other half of the field, rather than, I know that he's always had this thing where Brendan Rodgers wants to see if he can be the sweeper keeper that they all adore nowadays, but sometimes he'd be better just taking it and launching it.
Boy, I think it's sloppy more than anybody else.
I think, David, whatever Brendan Rodgers has done so far, it's worked. And it's been the right thing to do, because he's just won the championship without losing a game. He's now in the cup final and he's already got one cup. So whatever he has done, whoever he's rotated, he's done it properly.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm really pleased with how the season's went. I just thought it was an odd comment for him to make, considering the magnitude of the game. I wasn't pleased that he put the idea in our head that somehow our players were fatigued.
I think it's tiredness in the mind rather than the legs.
But I don't believe it was that with Simonovic or with Boyata or with Craig Gordon or with Lustig. And Kieran Tierney has got everlast batteries. He never stops anyway. So I think they purely and simply got sloppy. And it's the I kept saying during yesterday's programme, you have to work every minute of a match against Rangers if you're a Celtic player. And likewise for Rangers players against Celtic, you have to work every minute. Your focus has to be there every minute. Your concentration every minute. And for 7 or 8 minutes, they simply switched off. And but for Kenny Miller's header being saved by Craig Gordon, the last few minutes might have got tasty. So the lesson is there to be learned for Saturday at Ibrox that, you know, if you are on top, make sure you stay on top.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, domestically, I don't think that's really going to be much of an issue. But going forward for Celtic into next season, if we're going into the Champions League again, we can't afford to be sloppy, we can't afford to be tired. And although, don't get me wrong, it does seem like I'm just looking for problems when there aren't there. I mean, this is improvements that we need to make, and we need to make now if we want to be taken seriously going forward.
Yeah, I think the players automatically know that when they go into the Champions League, they are moving up a level. Moving up a considerable level from what they face on a domestic scale. So they will know that. But yesterday, they got sloppy.
Thanks a lot for your call, David. That was David in Cumbernauld. Right, tonight's full-time teaser was sent in by Andy at Scots Footy Cards. You can follow them on Twitter. And the questions that I put into one question was, since 1991, can you name all Celtic and Rangers managers? We're talking caretaker, interim managers, the lot. There were 15 Celtic names. You've given me 14 of them. I'll list them. Liam Brady, Lou McCarry, Tommy Burns, Billy Stark, Wim Jansen, Joseph Venglos, John Barnes, Kenny Dalglish, Martin O'Neill, Gordon Strachan, Tony Mowbray, Neil Lennon, Ronnie Dial-Up, Brendan Rodgers. And I said there were 11 Rangers managers. You've given me all 11. Walter Smith, he was actually there twice, Dick Advocaat, Alex McLeish, Paul Le Guin, Ian Durant, Ali McCoist, Kenny McDowell, Stuart McCall, Mark Warburton, Graham Murty and Pedro Cascina. So we've just got that one little space in the list of Celtic.
Just before we'll give it to you, Newcastle have just scored against Preston. If they win tonight, that's them promoted into the Premier League. They've just scored 1-0.
Okay, okay.
Is it Eric Black?
No.
No.
Is it my old pal Granty?
No.
Is it?
I'll tell you, this manager took charge of the team for four games. He was a backroom member, so it was an interim caretaker position.
We need an initial.
I'm not going to give you initials, but I will give you
The era.
I'll tell you who it was between. Which two, I was going to say proper managers, if you right. Although Celtic fans might argue that one. It was between Liam Brady and Lou McCarry.
Well, that was early on, wasn't it?
There was a man there before Lou McCarry was appointed as manager who took charge of four Celtic games.
Jordan.
Frank Connor.
Frank Connor.
Well done, the Shugster.
Well done. Thanks very much for your full-time teaser, Andy. If you've got a question for the guys, that's kind of the style of question we like.
I like lots of answers. That one. Yeah, I like that one.
Email us fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. We're back tomorrow night, same time, same place, 6 o'clock. Hopefully hear from you then. Thanks to Hugh and Derek for tonight. We'll see you guys on Friday. Tomorrow night is a Tuesday, which means Goran Dl will be here, and joining him from the Scottish Sun will be Roger Hanna. Thanks again for tonight. Keep it on Clyde One. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Night night.
Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.